From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Hi, I'm Ben. I suffer from a condition called writer's block. It strikes when I'm at work. That's why I choose Canva Magic Write. It works fast, generating texts in seconds, thanks to AI.
Common side effects include increased productivity, compliments from coworkers, feelings of satisfaction.
Now I can say bye-bye to writer's block.
Ask your boss if Canva Magic Write is right for you at canva.com, designed for work.
This episode is brought to you by AARP. 10 years from today, Lisa Schneider will trade in her office job to become the leader of a pack of dogs. As the owner of her own dog rescue, that is. A second act made possible by the reskilling courses Lisa's taking now with AARP to help make sure her income lives as long as she does. And she can finally run with the big dogs. And the small dogs, who just think they're big dogs. That's why the younger you are, the more you need AARP. Learn more at aarp.org/skills.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.
Marketplaces. They're back in the discussion again, particularly with PAX 8 announcing theirs. Is it a marketplace? Let's talk about that with an expert. Suresh Nadkarni is an expert with a new book on marketplaces on this bonus episode of The Business of Tech. Prospects are asking about security earlier in the buying cycle. MSPs and their clients need a way to get compliant that is faster and takes less employee investment. With SecureFrame, you can get compliant in weeks, not months, so that you can focus on growing your business. SecureFrame makes it fast and easy to get SOC 2, ISO 27001, HIPAA, PCI, and GDPR compliant. With guided workflows and one-click integrations, the entire process is automated and backed by a support team of industry experts. Get you and your clients compliant fast with SecureFrame. Schedule a demo, and listeners get 20% off today with a link in the show notes. You're super great timing because marketplaces are all a buzz in the MSP and IT services space. So it's great timing to talk to you because you're somebody who spent a lot of time thinking about this and how they apply. But I think why don't we start with a really basic bit? Can you tell me what the basics of what a marketplace is and how you define it?
Yeah, a marketplace is a meeting ground essentially between consumers and suppliers. So if you want to offer a product or a service for sale to consumers, that's what a marketplace is. But the marketplace generally doesn't provide its own products. It's providing products from other suppliers, products and services from other suppliers to consumers or small businesses or large businesses.
Okay. Now, where this gets interesting to me is because that's pretty simple if we assume consumers are directly buying from vendors. But what happens when this becomes more like an influencer model or you've got an intermediary in there? Particularly in our space, when we think about the way this is consumed, most small businesses work with somebody, right? They work with a technology advisor, a solution provider, an MSP, whatever we call them. But they're with somebody that's advising them, that's guiding them through the process. How do the dynamics change when you add more players and it's not just two sides in the marketplace?
Yeah, it's interesting. For example, in the consumer space, you have a company like Instacart, which is actually a four-sided marketplace. You know, so you have consumers, you have grocery stores, you have drivers, and you have advertisers or retail providers. And so it becomes a lot more complicated to manage, you know, multiple players, and you have to you know, build a critical mass of consumers, suppliers, influencers, etc. So it's a lot more complicated, but also creates a lot of barriers to entry, because once you get critical mass and it gets going, that's very difficult for somebody else to replace you.
So let's tackle both bits of that. What do we have? What do we need to do to measure, to see if a marketplace has achieved that critical mass? How do we know we're there?
Generally, you know, it's really a spectrum, you know, of knowing if you're there yet, because it takes time. But generally, if you find that consumers and suppliers are organically coming to your marketplace, meaning that you're not doing advertising and then somebody responding to that advertising to come to your marketplace, then that means that the marketplace has a flywheel going where consumers are hearing about it from other consumers and they're finding lots of suppliers, and therefore they are attracted to that marketplace. And similarly, suppliers are hearing from other suppliers that, hey, this is a good marketplace to be on. Let me go join that marketplace. So when there is organic growth is when a marketplace really has achieved kind of the flywheel effect.
Okay. Now, it's interesting to me because you talked there about the idea of the marketplace itself having awareness. Mm-hmm. Does the marketplace in that sense need to be marketed? Does it need to be positioned to those that are consuming, right? Do they need to have awareness? And how does that work to provide the value? How much does that matter, that marketing element?
Well, it matters a lot. I mean, marketplaces, as you know, are very difficult to get off the ground because of the chicken or egg problem. So it's the reverse once you have achieved critical mass, which is that consumers don't come because there are no suppliers. Suppliers don't come because there are no consumers. So one of the critical things that I discuss in my book is how to jumpstart a marketplace. And a lot of it is you're going to focus on suppliers first and on a specific market. So for example, going back to the consumer examples of Instacart or DoorDash and so forth, they focused on a specific market. So, you know, DoorDash got started in California and specifically in Palo Alto. And the way that they didn't actually get supplies initially, they just took the menus from the restaurants and published that on their website. And then they would place orders on your behalf as if they were the consumer. And then they would go pick up the order and then deliver it. And then over time, they had enough data to go to the actual restaurants and say, hey, you know, by the way, over the last 6 months, you know, we have already placed so many orders through your restaurant, and why don't you join our platform? So a lot of marketing has to be done, sales marketing has to be done to really get first suppliers onto the platform and then drive consumers once you have suppliers to come to the platform.
Interesting. So the idea there that for a true marketplace is that we're driving the participants to participate in the marketplace.
Yeah.
I want to ask, you know, just as we're talking, you know, within the past week or so, a company in our space called Pax8 has announced their version of a cloud marketplace. And their vision of it actually is to embed themselves in the buy button of the end SaaS organizations and then drive the consumption that way and in a way be hidden back. Mm-hmm. You know, as we're an audience of listeners here of these solution providers, MSPs, that are trying to understand the dynamics of a marketplace and how this might work, I'd like to get a little bit of your sense about a model that might be a little bit more hidden like this, where it's kind of happening on the back end. Like what are the dynamics that they should be thinking about to understand if this is a successful venture or not?
Right. So today, you know, there are, as we have discussed before, there are marketplaces like AWS offers a marketplace and so does Azure and Google, you know, Cloud Platform, all have their own marketplaces, and so do some of the service providers like Salesforce and others. So you have to really distinguish yourself from those marketplaces. And generally, you know, AWS and Azure, et cetera, are really marketing to large enterprises, large to mid-sized enterprises. So Pax8 should really be focusing on small businesses. you know, who are not very tech savvy. They may not even have an IT person, or the IT person might be somebody in the office who is somewhat tech savvy, right? And so you have to make that whole process brain dead simple, and make it easy for them to find the appropriate services, get advice. You know, I want a CRM product. You know, should I buy Salesforce or should I buy Zoho? What are the pros and cons of one versus the other? You can assume that the buyer has the full knowledge of the different solutions. And so there needs to be some kind of support being provided that provides guidance to the buyers, and then make it a one-click process for them to basically sign up for those services.
Interesting. So we'll be watching to see how that plays out. Now, one of the things that I've been thinking about as we talk about this is that a lot of the examples we've talked about that you've mentioned are bigger companies, right? Azure, about Instacart, they're driving a much larger bid, and then smaller companies are participants in that. Right. Am I right in thinking then that most of the time marketplaces, because of the size of the critical mass, are generally going to be created by larger companies? Or what are the dynamics look like for the way small companies, you know, engage with marketplaces?
Right. So, no, it's not. If your question is, you know, can only large companies create marketplaces? No, I mean, a lot of the examples I gave earlier were started by solo founders. I'll give you an example of Instacart, which was started by a former AWS employee, and he started in San Francisco all by himself after actually trying out 20 different startup ideas. He came upon this particular idea. And what he did initially was he scraped the Safeway site for information about what products they were carrying. And then he himself would be the driver that would go pick up the orders and deliver them so that he understood that whole experience. So it is indeed possible, you know, for solo entrepreneurs to get going and start their own marketplaces.
Now, obviously, you've got a book that dives into this, so I'm not going to ask you to reveal everything in the book. Give me maybe one of the things that you talk about in the book, because you talk about creating marketplaces and achieving monopolies in your own market. Yeah. In the book, give us a little bit, like a taste of one of the ideas from that to spark thinking for listeners.
Yeah, one of the so basically the title of the book is Winner Takes All. The hypothesis is that you know, once you get critical mass, then the network effects kick in, and it's a virtuous flywheel where, you know, suppliers join because consumers are there, consumers come because there are lots of suppliers. And one of the things I warn about in the book is the dangers of these companies become monopolies. So, you know, Amazon, Alibaba, etc., all monopolies, or it becomes a winner. Either it becomes a winner takes all, or a winner takes most kind of situation. And we have to make sure that those companies don't take advantage of the monopoly power. I talk about in the book, for example, how Amazon and Apple and Google, all of whom have marketplaces, are, you know, abusing their monopoly in certain ways. And we need to make sure that there's adequate regulation to counteract the monopoly power that these companies have.
It's interesting. I like to think of good regulation as guardrails, right? It keeps the marketplace so that you have the rules of the road, and the guardrails are there to keep us on the road. Yeah. Give us a little bit of an insight into what you think the proper guardrails are to make sure that the game is fairly played.
Yeah. So some examples I would give is one is competing with your own suppliers. So in the case of Amazon, for example, they have a private label business. So you might have noticed, you know, if you've gone to buy an iPhone cable, that, you know, Amazon Basics, which is their brand name, has its own products. And they compete against other suppliers of iPhone, you know, cables. And, you know, that can be obviously a problem, you know, for suppliers who are trying to compete in that space. And then the other problem is self-preferencing. So it's one thing to compete fairly against other suppliers, but if you are self-referencing your own product so that when you do a search, you show up first or high up in the search results, that's not, you know, creating a fair, you know, playground in which the suppliers can can compete. And so, again, you know, the Congress or the FTC or whatever can provide regulation to make sure that these abuses don't take place.
So your thought on that then is that this is something that that has to be done at a regulatory level, yes, to keep the monopoly private. They're not going to do it on their own.
No, even though, you know, Jeff Bezos in, you know, this case is an honorable person, it's very hard to control the entire organization because, you know, in the case of Amazon, for example, their first party business or their private label business is only 1% of their revenues. And they've been given the goal of being 10%. And so now they're going out there, you know, getting proprietary data about other suppliers to decide which market they should enter. And that's, again, an abuse of their monopoly power. It's not something that Jeff Bezos wants, but he can't really control the rest of his organization. So you have to have guardrails coming from Congress to force these organizations to abide by certain rules.
Gotcha. Well, if listeners are interested in learning more, I'm sure you've got some resources that you can point them at. How can they get those resources and take some next steps?
There are a number of books on marketplaces. Mine is one of them. It's called Winner Takes All. It's available now on Amazon. They are one of the monopolies in terms of books and so forth. Yeah, so that would be a good resource to start. But there are other good books on marketplaces as well.
Gotcha. Well, I really appreciate you joining me and giving a little bit of insight into this dynamic.
My pleasure. I enjoy talking to you.
The Business of Tech is written and produced by me, Dave Sobel, under ethics guidelines posted at businessof.tech. Like the content? Support the show at patreon.com/MSPradio or buy our Why Do We Care merch at businessof.tech. If you want to reach our listeners, visit mspradio.com/engage.
Part of the MSP Radio Network.
From their innovative practice facility to unmatched views from the fairway, the PGA of America is helping lower scores and elevate fan experiences with 5G solutions from T-Mobile for Business. Together, we're using AI-powered analytics to expand coaching tools and bringing fans closer to the pros with 5G-connected cameras. This is game-changing innovation. This is the PGA of America with T-Mobile for Business. Take your business further at T-Mobile.com/now.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.